Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, dearest friend, beloved God, great masters, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Keshwan, beloved Guru, Paramhansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, our friend Swami Kriyananda, we bow humbly before you all and offer to you the flower of our gratitude for this life of spirituality, for your grace and guidance, for these true teachings, and for our spiritual family. We are very, very grateful. Help us to attune ourselves ever more deeply to your vibration in our own hearts and in the hearts of all of our friends. Om. So again, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. If you don't already have one, please make sure that you have a leaf and a pen that you'll find in the foyer on your way in. That will be a part of a little offering that we'll be able to do in gratitude to Divine Mother later on. And just so you know, we'll have some music, a little bit of chanting, and also an opportunity to sit and meditate and to really consider and contemplate just the feeling of gratitude in our hearts, and to really nurture that plant for a little bit of time together. So now we're going to begin together with a piece of music which has taken on a special meaning for me fairly recently. And this song is called Joined in Prayer, and it's from Swami Kriyananda's attunement ceremony, which we don't do frequently, but it's a really beautiful ceremony and one that has been very meaningful to me recently. But he made this ceremony in part to help all of us feel the blessings that we gain by coming together to meditate, by coming together to worship God, not by simply being renunciates out in some distant Himalayan cave by yourself, but that we are a community. And that he said, when we come together, it's not merely that we come together to close our eyes and sort of meditate independently and just by happenstance we are in the same room together. But rather, he said, when we come together to meditate or to pray or to, in this case, express our gratitude, we should try to feel the boundaries of our consciousness fading away and feel ourselves merging, melding into the collective whole that our satsanga represents, that all of our friends represent. And so as we sing this song, if you haven't heard it before, just listen the first time, but then please join in. We'll sing this 3 or 4 times. And as we sing it, listen to the lyrics and let's see if we can expand a little bit into feeling our unity and our gratitude for our spiritual family.
Joined in prayer we worship thee, rays of light that seek the sun. Many drops to make us see, thus our love when joined as one. Thus our love when joined as one.
Sing with us.
Joined in prayer we worship thee, rays of light that seek the sun. Many drops to make us see, thus our love when joined as one. Thus our love when joined as one. Joined in prayer we worship thee, rays of light that seek the sun. Many drops to make us see, thus our love when joined as one. Thus our love when joined as one. Joined in prayer we worship thee, rays of light that seek the sun. Many drops to make us see, thus our love when joined as one. Thus our love when joined as one.
And now we'll have some chanting together. Fill my heart with music, I dance through life with thee. I sing your song and sorrow's gone, in joy I live ever free. You fill my heart with music, I dance through life with thee. I sing your song and sorrow's gone, in joy I live ever free. Fill my heart with music, I dance through life with thee. I sing your song and sorrow's gone, in joy I live ever free. You fill my heart with music, I dance through life with thee. I sing your song and sorrow's gone, in joy I live ever free. Fill my heart with music, I dance through life with thee. I sing your song and sorrow's gone, in joy I live ever free. You fill my heart with music, I dance through life with thee. I sing your song and sorrow's gone, in joy I live ever free. Fill my heart with music, I dance through life with thee. I sing your song and sorrow's gone, in joy I live ever free. You fill my heart with music, I dance through life with thee. I sing your song and sorrow's gone, in joy I live ever free. Fill my heart with music, I dance through life with thee. I sing your song and sorrow's gone, in joy I live ever free. You fill my heart with music, I dance through life with thee. I sing your song and sorrow's gone, in joy I live ever free. Fill my heart with music, I dance through life with thee. I sing your song and sorrow's gone, in joy I live ever free. I sing your song and sorrow's gone, in joy I live ever free. Thou art my life, thou art my love, thou art the sweetness which I do seek. Thou art my life, thou art my love, thou art the sweetness which I do seek. In the thought by mile abroad, in the thought by mile abroad, my days, thy names are sweet, so sweet. Devotee knows how sweet you are, devotee knows how sweet you are. He knows whom you let know, he knows whom you let know. Thou art my life, thou art my love, thou art the sweetness which I do seek. Thou art my life, thou art my love, thou art the sweetness which I do seek. In the thought by mile abroad, in the thought by mile abroad, I taste thy name, so sweet, so sweet. Devotee knows how sweet you are, devotee knows how sweet you are. He knows whom you let know,
Thou art my life, Thou art my love, Thou art the sweetest which I deceive. In the thought Thy mile abroad, in the thought Thy mile abroad, I taste Thy names, the sweets of sweet. Devotee knows how sweet You are, devotee knows how sweet You are. He knows whom You let know, He knows whom You let know. Thou art my life, Thou art my love, Thou art the sweetness which I do see. Thou art my life, Thou art my love, Thou art the sweetness which I do see. In the thought by my love brought, in the thought by my love brought, I taste Thy name, so sweet, so sweet. Devotee knows how sweet You are, devotee knows how sweet You are. He knows whom You let know, He knows whom You let know. Thou art my life, Thou art my love, Thou art the sweetest which I do see. Thou art my life, Thou art my love, Thou art the sweetest which I do see. In the thought by my love brought, in the thought by my love brought, I taste Thy name, so sweet, devotee knows how sweet You are, devotee knows how sweet You are, devotee knows how sweet You are, devotee knows.
Let's sit upright together now, and let's meditate. Let's prepare the body, inhaling twice. And let's concentrate on that sweetness, awakened by that beautiful chant of Yogananda's. We'll meditate together for about 20 minutes and feel that every breath that you take, every feeling that you have, let it be aglow with the love and the gratitude for the grace, the love, the guidance of the Masters for this path. Let's make this meditation a puja, an offering. Holding on to the quality of this sweetness, offering it to the altar of the spiritual eye at the feet of the Masters. our meditation with a visualization together. Let's visualize that you're standing before the Masters, or before Divine Mother, before God, in whatever way is meaningful to you. And try to feel for something in your heart, something in your life that you are particularly grateful for. A loved one, a circumstance, a blessing. Perhaps a trait or a talent which was given to you by God. Perhaps for satsang, for our spiritual family, for the Guru's grace. And imagine whatever that blessing is, or blessings, to be a little ball of light in your own heart. Let's take that little ball of light, which was a gift to us, and let's visualize that light rising up the spine towards the spiritual eye. And when it ascends to that point, let's let it expand outwards, offering it back at the feet of the Infinite from whence it came. And silently offer up a silent prayer of gratitude, thanking Divine Mother for her gifts in your life, but most of all for her love. And let's listen together now on the quality of gratitude. Swamiji writes, "Gratitude is a way of returning energy for energy received. Only a thief takes without paying for what he gets, and one who accepts a kindness without returning gratitude, as though the kindness were his by right, demeans both the giver and himself. He demeans the giver, because by ingratitude he implies that the kindness was inspired by selfish motives. And he demeans himself, because by giving nothing in return, he breaks the cycle of creativity, without which prosperity's flow, both materially and spiritually, is blocked. Accept nothing inwardly for yourself, but offer everything to God. Don't let yourself be bought by others' kindnesses. Be grateful to them, above all in your soul, by blessing or praying for them. Give gratitude first of all to God, from whom alone all blessings truly come." And now trying to meditate on this feeling of gratitude in the heart, not merely the intellectual concept, but the actual experience of gratitude. Let's practice this affirmation together. Let's say out loud with a strong voice to command the attention of the conscious mind, "I give thanks to the giver behind each gift. I give thanks to the giver behind each gift. And to the one giver behind all that I receive. I give thanks to the giver behind each gift. And to the one giver behind all that I receive. My gratitude rises with devotion's incense to the throne of omnipresence. My gratitude rises with devotion's incense to the throne of omnipresence." And now in a regular speaking tone, "I give thanks to the giver behind each gift, and to the one giver behind all that I receive. My gratitude rises with devotion's incense to the throne of omnipresence. My gratitude rises with devotion's incense to the throne of omnipresence. I give thanks to the giver behind each gift, and to the one giver behind all that I receive. My gratitude rises with devotion's incense to the throne of omnipresence. And now in a whisper, allowing this affirmation to sink deeply into the very core of your subconscious mind, into the fiber of your body and of your heart, I give thanks to the giver behind each gift. I give thanks to the giver behind each gift, and to the one giver behind all that I receive. I give thanks to the giver behind each gift, and to the one giver behind all that I receive. My gratitude rises with devotion's incense to the throne of omnipresence. My gratitude rises with devotion's incense to the throne of omnipresence. I give thanks to the giver behind each gift, and to the one giver behind all that I receive. My gratitude rises with devotion's incense to the throne of omnipresence. And now, uplifting your consciousness to the point between the eyebrows, let's expand joyfully into the superconsciousness with this affirmation, feeling again not only that your consciousness is expanding, but also those of all of your friends gathered here today. Let's silently affirm, I give thanks to the giver behind each gift, and to the one giver behind all that I receive. My gratitude rises with devotion's incense to the throne of omnipresence. My gratitude rises with devotion's incense to the throne of omnipresence. I give thanks to the giver behind each gift, and to the one giver behind all that I receive. My gratitude rises with devotion's incense to the throne of omnipresence. My gratitude rises with devotion's incense to the throne of omnipresence. And now silently feel the vibration of this affirmation emanating from your heart in silent symphony of gratitude to the divine. Please pray with me now silently, with all the sincerity of your soul. I thank thee, Lord, for all thy blessings, but most of all, I thank thee for thy love. And now rest once again briefly in the inner silence, and ask yourself if there's something in particular you'd like to be grateful for today, be thankful to Divine Mother for. And take a moment now and write a word or two, perhaps, on the leaf that you brought in with you. But make this say puja, again, an offering. Try to imbue in that word, in that leaf, the essence of your gratitude for Divine Mother. Thank you. And if you didn't get one, Shanti is coming around graciously with a leaf. And remember, as Krishna said, even a leaf offered with sincerity, I receive. And now we'll have a brief talk from Swami Kriyananda on the essence of Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, everybody. The one thing that I have noticed among people is that the capacity for being grateful is really a mark of refinement. Not expressing gratitude, but feeling gratitude. Many people express it. But the way to really feel it and express it truly, as opposed to merely expressing words, is to take it within. The expression of gratitude is really a sort of a feeling of appreciation that in itself is tantamount to trying to attune yourself to the giver. To express gratitude to God is to go into silence, to be open to his vibrations. It's sort of like when somebody does something for you that you really appreciate, you don't have to say it, but you feel love going out to that person that creates a link and sort of closes a circuit in a way. An interesting thing, when I met Ananda Moyi Ma, it was a wonderful meeting. I felt enormously inspired. I could hardly speak for joy. And it was very sweet. I had certain messages from different people. One of the monks had asked for a little bit of cloth, maybe a handkerchief or something that she had used. And so I asked her if she could give this, and she gave it so gladly, I thought, wow, I better get in this act too. I said, could I have two, please? And she brought me a towel that she'd used, and then she brought me this big shawl that I have, not wearing today at night, but something she said she'd worn for 5 years, and gave this to me. And I was just so moved by it, and afterwards I said, thank you. And her answer always intrigued me. She said, well, would you thank your own mother? In this country, of course, we would. But in India, generally speaking, they don't express thanks except formally. They don't express thanks to their nearest and dearest because it seems too formal. Partly it's the word itself, dhanyavad. It sounds very formal in itself. But many Indians, even when talking their own language, will prefer to say thank you because it has a more informal feel to it. But the thing is that the consciousness there is that the way to thank, if you really are thanking, is to simply offer your love. And offer it in silence. And this is what I have noticed with people of any kind of sensitivity. Whether they say thank you or not is superficial, but to be able to feel and express appreciation, the ability to give credit to another human being, is something that you find a great many people don't have. They almost, when you do them a favor, they almost act as if you owed them that favor. They almost act as if they didn't want to open themselves to the extent of actually saying that they appreciate it, for fear that maybe you'd twist it in some way or they'd get hurt. It's really sad. I've noticed this, especially in the cities, and of all cities in the world, especially in New York, where you walk down the streets or preferably drive through the streets, and you see this constant hedging in of the consciousness for fear of being struck by somebody, by not just a literal sword blade, but by an unkind remark, by an unappreciative attitude, and so on. And I've even seen people in that sort of crowd where if you do smile at them, they sort of look at you suspiciously as if you were trying to put something over on them, as if now comes the pitch attitude. But when people really are able to say, it doesn't matter how I'm taken by other people, but I just enjoy feeling and expressing appreciation, I enjoy feeling and expressing love, Whether they hurt me, whether they cut me, whether they didn't really mean it, it doesn't matter. To be able to give more than the other person, to be able to open yourself more and never to be afraid of what might come as a result of it. This is the mark that I'm talking of, a refined person, a sensitive person, and one who has developed enough inner strength not to need to protect himself anymore. What you have to give is your own to give, and how it's taken doesn't matter, because you're not giving it with the thought of what you're going to get in return. Most people give with that thought, and most people give appreciation with that thought. If people can really open their hearts and their minds, their souls, in a spirit of appreciation, it doesn't mean thank you, God, for all your gifts. It means, God, I love you, and it's so wonderful through your gifts to see how you love me. This kind of mutual sharing, which people can enjoy with one another, but which is most beautiful of all when it's expressed with God, toward God, this is the spirit of Thanksgiving and the whole purpose behind this beautiful festival. It originated, as Keshav was reading to me today in the encyclopedia, as a harvest festival. Gratitude to God for the harvest that the first pilgrim fathers got when they came into this country. And the story, whether it's true or not, the legend is that on that first Thanksgiving day, the American Indians came to this feast and brought their own harvest, their own produce, and they all sat down and ate together. But there is another thing, that if we give real appreciation to God and really recognize that all gifts come from Him, then we recognize that the source of those gifts is infinite, and we have nothing to be afraid of anymore. We can walk as those two who were, in the beginning they were friendly, the whites and the Indians, but nonetheless there were still some sort of border skirmishes. But at that time and at that meal, you saw symbolized the idea that all good things come from God, so what have we to fear from our fellow man? And if in our emphasis on world brotherhood and trying to bring people together into a consciousness of being one family, if we can emphasize above all that God is our common father, mother, friend, beloved, and that all things that can come to us come from His hand, whether good, they're all good. Not one of them is bad if we understand it in the right way. Because even the things that are painful come for some kind of very important lesson or purification. But if we can take it as coming always from Him, then we can feel gratitude.
In India there lived by the banks of a stream a hermit whose prayers chose applause for their theme. He gazed at the flowers and he smiled at the sun. Then he clapped with delight. Lord, he cried, oh, well done. Well done, Lord, oh, very well done. The mountains that laugh with the gypsy clouds, the fields smile to welcome the sun. All nature sings praises aloud. The fields smile to welcome the sun. All nature sings praises aloud. The trees dance to show their elation. A day on God's earth has begun. And every true heart in creation in speechless wonder is bound. And every true heart in creation in speechless wonder is bound. Well done, Lord, oh very well done. The joy that you planted in children's hearts, the thrill known in bearing a son, the hope when a trial departs. The thrill known in bearing a son, the hope when a trial departs. The gladness of men and their neighbors, of youth and its victories won. Our joys are the proof of your labors. How wonderful, Lord, are your arts. Our joys are the proof of your labors. How wonderful. your arms. Well done, Lord, oh very well done. At last I've discovered the mystic key, the world's joy, oh secretive one, replies to your sweetness in me. The world's joy, oh secretive one, replies to your sweetness in me. For here in my heart lies the answer, your love shedding light like the sun. All life seems leap like a dancer, when gazing I see only thee. All life seems leap like a dancer, when gazing I see only thee.
Song. Very happy to hear it. A great message for all of us, everything that we all really need today. And how nice to hear Swamiji talking to us about Thanksgiving. I don't remember exactly where or when that talk was, but the chances are very good that I was listening to him. I may remember it because I've heard the recording, but I can also remember how often we sat with him and he told us the same thing over and over again. And by finally hearing it 100,000 times, a piece of us actually begins to believe it. When he starts telling us that everything that happens to us and everything that we experience in this life, whether we enjoy it or we don't, that it comes from God, and as such, we should be equally grateful for everything. That message sounds so inspiring when you hear it, doesn't it? And so annoying when you're asked to live it, isn't it? And it's so surprising to me. It has never ceases to amaze me. The difference between what we know to be true and what the heart can spontaneously rise to. We can discipline our hearts to rise to it. We can solve our suffering by holding on to what we know to be true, and gradually bringing all the reluctant citizens of our hearts and minds into line with it. But oh, for that glorious day when the first thought that comes to us is, thank you, God, no matter what it is that comes. Thank you, God. A friend of mine was talking to me about a difficult test that came upon him, and came upon him rather suddenly. And he said he had been praying for transformation. He'd been feeling very uplifted, and he really wanted to become free. He's a longtime devotee. That's what he wanted. But circumstances shifted rather suddenly, and all of a sudden he was facing something he didn't know was coming. And his first thought was, Lord, this wasn't what I had in mind. On one hand, isn't it wonderful that his first thought was, Lord? At least there was going to be a conversation with God. But he couldn't help pointing out that even though perhaps their goals were the same, their methods were really considerably different. And this is what happens to us as devotees in this world. It just operates in ways that are very hard for us to understand. We operate in ways that are very hard for us to understand. We are this collection of samskaras, of past life inclinations, only a handful of which are active in any particular life. If, as Swamiji put it once, you may have the destiny to have to drown in a ship sinking, but if you've incarnated in the Gobi Desert, you're not really going to be able to work that one out. So that one lurks, and all of them lurk. They just lurk somewhere in the background of our consciousness, which why, much of the time, we don't feel quite at ease. I ask myself, sometimes what I'm worrying about is big and obvious and externally verifiable. But then everything settles down, but the not quite at ease-ness just remains with us because we have all these oscillating samskaras just waiting to express themselves, waiting to be finished. And thank God, literally, thank God, We have Kriya Yoga. We have the power to meditate. We have the grace of God and Guru, which make it possible for us to become free. If we actually just had to poke each one of those samskaras and untie the knots, it would be even longer than it already is. It's the grace of God that comes through. But that grace of God is also quite mysterious. It was answered extremely simply by St. John in the Bible. But simple does not mean easy. But it's very important to remember that it's very simple. John said about the grace of Jesus Christ, which is the grace of God in all masters, to all who received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. To become the son of God is to become free, is to enter finally into that state of true peace and true bliss, which is our actual destiny. And John says, how do we do that? We receive. We receive the grace of God. The most remarkable thing about the grace of God is we tend to think of it as intermittent. We tend to think of it as sometimes there and sometimes not there. And then we tend to project upon God, Guru, and all the saints our own fickleness is the word I want to use. Today I'm completely open, tomorrow I'm not so sure. Lord, this isn't what I expected. And so we shift and we shift and we shift, whereas the divine power is constant. It's something really magnificent for us to contemplate, to meditate on, to really hold, like, is there a time when God withdraws his energy? If the divine withdrew the energy, all of life would cease to exist. We live entirely by the life force flowing into us from the divine source. If the divine source ever hesitated, even for a moment, we would simply cease to exist. We are a manifestation of the divine, and it's constant. And despite our perception of its oscillating nature, unconditional, infinite love means absolutely constant, never ending, never changing. So where is the inconstancy? Where does the intermittent come from? It comes from us. It comes from courage today and cowardice tomorrow, detachment today and terrible attachment today. It comes from heartbreak that we just don't know what to do with. However, the grace of God, how does it say, ever and again through your awakened sons, the answer comes. That's what it says in the Festival of Life. Who are we in reality? For what end were we made? We say that ritual, those of us who participate regularly, we say that every single week. And for so many 30 plus years, not every week, but almost every week, I'm in the position where I speak those words out loud to a large or small crowd of people. Ever and again, through your awakened sons, the answer comes. Because among those many different calls that we've issued to the divine, is what I lovingly call the piglet prayer, which was put into that little children's book when poor little piglet was lost in the fog and collapsed in a very recognizable heap of despair, which I at least relate to. When we were young nuns together, my character actually was piglet because I had a striped shirt. That's what I like to say. But it was also because I collapsed fairly easily. Piglet collapses in this story in complete despair, gathers himself up enough to issue a one-word prayer. Help! That's really actually all you have to say. You know, the saints and the masters articulate that prayer in beautiful poetry that absolutely thrills us. But it's really the realization that I have reached the end of what I can do on my own. Swami Kriyananda talks about that in the path when he's telling us his own story about how he came to master. He was a brilliant man. In writing about him, I've talked to members of his family and the people who knew him when he was a child. And he was, as you can imagine, outstanding from the beginning. Just his intellect and his philosophy and so on. And as a consequence, he did not start his spiritual search looking for a guru. He started his spiritual search looking for truth and applied every ounce of his willpower and his intelligence and his hope toward that end until he reached the end. You know, who are we in reality? For what end were we made? And he began to understand that God was what he was looking for. He began to understand that an internal reality was the answer to all that he was seeking. But as he became more honest and more humble, he was reduced to the piglet prayer, even though he never prayed it in exactly that way. But we need help. And the miracle of life is when we sincerely ask, God comes. We don't even have to know what we're asking for. Swami didn't even know about the idea of guru and karma and reincarnation, but he saw Autobiography of a Yogi. He saw Master's picture. He saw Master's eyes, and it spoke to him. Before he even opened the book, it spoke to him, because all those who received him. It doesn't have to be any particular master, but it has to be the grace of God. And we oscillate inside ourselves with so many other fears and worries and wishes and desires. We want God, but we're also afraid. We're just afraid of the effort that's going to be required and the fear that it might not be what we had in mind. No, what about this? What about this? One of the most touching parts of a story that of a memoir that I read by one of the women who has been a visionary in Medjugorje. And started as a child, seeing Mother Mary. At first, I think they would see her every day. And now contemporary, 30, 35 years later, Mary still comes to her. Not every day, but every week, every month. I'm not sure how often, but regularly. Now she's a grown woman. She's married. She has children of her own. And still Mother keeps coming to her. And this is what she said about one aspect of this. She was speaking to a man about her experiences, her visions. The man she was talking to had 9 children. And she was talking to him about the way a parent feels about their children. And the two of them were talking. She says, "My children, my daughters, I believe, are everything to me." She said, "But when Mary appears before me, I forget that they exist." She was trying to give him an idea of what that experience was. And she actually said, there's an element of trauma every time Mother comes to her, she said. Because as soon as she's there, she's in that vision. No other reality exists. She forgets that her children exist. She forgets everything. Then she comes back. And it's not that she doesn't welcome the family, the husband, the children, the home, the responsibilities, but the contrast always makes her weep. There was one of Master's disciples, Dr. Lewis, Roy Eugene Davis, I'm not sure which one, was always badgering Master to give me an experience of samadhi. And two answers have been given to that request. One was, you know, if I gave you that experience when you came back to your ordinary life, you wouldn't be able to bear it. And the other was when Master was looking like this at the disciple and he said, "Can you take it?" And the disciple had to say, "No, sir." Because think of the courage. Think of the courage required to really let go of everything else. And God is good to us, really, by not granting our prayer in a certain sense, because He moves us like children. You know, you don't give your child everything. You give him what he can take as he can take it, just step by step. And what we have to come to understand is the absolute wisdom of our Divine Mother. What we need to cultivate deep within ourselves is a very simple word, and that word is trust. We have to trust that God knows what He's doing with us. We have to trust that there's not a single element of life, not an aspect of life, that is separate from the presence of God. Again, meditate on this. How could this be happening, whatever this might be, outside the will of God? Even if it's not what we expected, even if it's horrible, unfair, unjustified, they should have known better, doesn't anybody love me? No, I'm very, very good at all of these things. I can do them all really well, too well. I'll put it in the past tense rather than am. But we all know this story, whether we've done it in this life or in a lifetime before or hundreds of lifetimes before. How can anything that comes to us be outside the will of God? Now, of course, then, there's another step to that equation which has to be spoken. God, how do you want me to respond? But that we are being asked and challenged to find the right response, that's Divine Mother teaching us. If we could really know that, and this has become my mantra these days, why do I ever worry about anything? It's very easy to make up reasons, but it's very hard to justify them if we go very deep into it. So here we are on a holiday, which is a holiday about gratitude. So what are we grateful for? How about everything? How about having been born into tempestuous, uncertain times in which we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, born into a country where we're watching its ideals becoming extremely confused? I learned a historical fact that I didn't know. I learned it today from several of those emails that show up in your box. Thanksgiving started with this great union between the native peoples and the pilgrims. Apparently that was about 1600, middle of the 1600s. It really happened. They really did get together before the newcomers to this land decided that all of it was what they wanted and that they were going to take it, which Master said is still karma that this country has yet to pay off. And, you know, it was not a good thing for us to have done. But that event did not take hold at that time. 200 years later, in the middle of the 1800s, first diaries from that time were uncovered, and some woman took it as her cause that she wanted to restore that Thanksgiving. But the way it was really started historically, apparently, was in the context of the Civil War, when half of the country was trying to enslave people they thought were inferior, and the other half of the country was fighting to liberate those slaves and to reject the horror of that point of view. and it wasn't going well. The Civil War did not go well for the northern side for a couple of years. And Thanksgiving came in the context of northerners, northern governors, wanting to align their cause more strongly with the presence of God. And it actually was declared finally a national holiday by Abraham Lincoln after the tide began to turn for the northern side and the rescuing of America from that horrible blight of slavery. It looked like it was going to go forward. And Thanksgiving was to God for giving us the strength, and in gratitude for the extraordinary level of sacrifice of human life that had taken place to achieve it. Now that strikes me particularly deeply, because Master has told us that we're again on the edge of some major conflicts between shadow and light. And there is, in this temple and in this world, many, many people who are responding with great courage to the incoming light. And there are many people in the world who are resisting that light with horrifying determination. And I think we really do need to go back to the actual origin of this day of Thanksgiving. And it's strengthen us, Lord, in our ability to serve the light. Now, the good news is this is an ascending age, and light and shadow may struggle with each other, but light is increasing. And this is, for all of us, this magnificent opportunity to answer the question over and over again, what is reality? For what end was I made? Ever and again through our awakened sons, the answer comes. We are here to increase with ever expanding intensity our ability to live in the light. And every challenge that comes to that is just Divine Mother saying to us, you know, you're doing a pretty good job, but you could do better. But you could do better. So I'm going to put a little more weight on your shoulders. I'm going to take away from you a few of the things that you thought you had to have. I'm going to surround you with who knows what, because I know you can do better. And none of us can stop. We can't stop. The river can't stop until it reaches the sea. And for each one of us, that's who we're here, why we're here. This is what we're doing. Thank you, Mother, for awakening me to the possibility of light. And thank you, Mother, for taking me home. God bless you.
Thank you, Asha. So now we'll have an opportunity together to express that gratitude that Asha was reminding us of, that gratitude for everything that Divine Mother has given us in the form of your leaf. So we'll chant together the chant that we do every Sunday for the offertory, for the offering, Father, Mother, Friend, our God. And as we chant this, please sing with us. And as you feel to, you can go to the altar and take a moment before the Masters to imbue that leaf with all of the gratitude of your heart for Divine Mother's blessings, and we can place the leaves on the altar to create a bouquet of our love.
Father, Mother, Friend, our God, we thy wonders all acclaim. Father, Mother, Friend, our God, we thy wonders all acclaim. Nay, our thoughts be only of thee, drain our hearts to sing thy name. thoughts be only of thee. Train our hearts to sing thy name. All desires born of delusion, here we lay, Lord, at thy feet. All desires born of delusion, here we lay, Lord, at thy feet. Thy one light brought by our great masters, make us ever one with thee. Thy one light brought by our great masters, make us ever one with thee. Mother, mother, friend, our God, we thy wonders all acclaim. Father, mother, friend, our God, we thy wonders all acclaim. May our thoughts be only of thee, train our hearts to sing thy name. May our thoughts be only of thee, train our hearts to sing thy name. All desires born of delusion, here we lay, Lord, at thy feet. All desires born of delusion, here we lay, Lord, at thy feet. Thy one light brought by our great masters, make us ever one with thee. Thy one light brought by our great masters, make us ever one with thee. Father, mother, friend, our God, we thy wonders all acclaim. Father, mother, friend, our God, we thy wonders all acclaim. Our thoughts be only of thee, train our hearts to sing thy name. May our thoughts be only of thee, train our hearts to sing thy name. All desires born of delusion, here we lay, Lord, at thy feet. All desires born of delusion, here we lay, Lord, at thy feet. Thy one light brought by our great masters, make us ever one with thee. Thy one light brought by our great masters, make us ever one with thee. Father, mother, friend, our God, we thy wonders all acclaim. Father, mother, friend, our God, we thy wonders all acclaim. May our thoughts be only of thee, train our hearts to sing thy name. May our thoughts be only of thee, train our hearts to sing thy name. All desires born of delusion, here we lay, Lord, at thy feet. All desires born of delusion, here we lay, Lord, at thy feet. Thy one light brought by our great masters, make us ever one with thee. Thy one light brought by our great masters, make us ever one with thee. Father, mother, friend, our God, we thy wonders hearts to sing thy name. May our thoughts be only of thee. Train our hearts to sing thy name. All desires born of delusion, here we lay, Lord, at thy feet. All desires born of delusion, here we lay, Lord, at thy feet. Thy one light brought by our great masters, make us ever one with thee. Thy one light brought by our great masters, make us ever one with thee. Thy one light brought by our great masters, make us ever one with thee. Thy one light brought by our great masters, make us ever one with thee.
Birds sing of freedom as they soar lightly on the air. So may our hearts soar high above all curves and care. Mother, we thank you, your joy shines in everything. Open these channels that the world once more may see. Trees standing firm hold the secret of inner power. Give us, when tested, strength to endure. Mother, we thank you, your joy shines in everything. Open these channels that the world once more may sing. Stars send a message of light through eternity. Lord, when in darkness your radiance we see. Mother, we thank you, your joy shines in everything. Open these channels that the world once more may see. Flowers so soft and fragile stay fragrant though pressed to the ground. May we thus learn forbearance, for in kindness love is found. Mother, we thank you, your joy shines in everything. Open these channels that the world once more may see. Mountains remote and still hint at higher worlds unseen. So may our lives be soaring and serene. Mother, we thank you, your joy shines in everything. Open these channels that the world once more may see. Rivers seek passage unhindered by rock or tree. So may our lives flow steadfast toward the sea. Mother, we thank you, your joy shines in everything. Open these channels that the world once more may sing. Mother, we thank you, your joy shines in everything. Open these channels that the world once more may sing.
Let's conclude together. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, dearest friend, beloved God, great masters, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Paramhansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, we bow before you all. Flood our hearts with the miracle of your presence. Burst all boundaries. in the cascade of our gratitude. Help your sweetness to flow, unimpeded, to all thirsty hearts, to all thirsty souls. Make us beacons of thy love to all the world. Om.